David, I've got to ask you this. How did you get involved in all these aspects that you've been studying all these years? How did this all start for you?
Well, you know, it actually did go back to Emmanuel Velikovsky. I didn't mention, in fact, when we were just reviewing briefly the Velikovsky issue, that Velikovsky was the one who inspired me to follow a particular lead. And this lead was directly to the planet Saturn in ancient times. This was the single most extraordinary aspect of Velikovsky's work, and it wasn't in Worlds in Collision. I had a chance to read a page and a half summary of an idea that Velikovsky had formulated. It was originally part of the manuscript he had submitted to Macmillan for Worlds in Collision, but he withdrew it to develop it more completely. Now, I found his idea about the planet Saturn completely entrancing. He said, there was a mythical golden age. This was the earliest remembered time, paradise on Earth. And presiding over that mythic time was this sun-like form in the sky. And it was the planet Saturn. The deluge, the great catastrophe, and so on, mm-hmm. Velikovsky argued, was the death of the dying god. And the dying god was Saturn. Saturn, in mythical terms, either died or he departed. This was followed by conflagration and catastrophe of one form or another. Now, that's about it in terms of what Velikovsky offered, but I couldn't let that go. And that was what led me to a sense that there was a huge story there, and it wasn't spread out over time in the way Velikovsky had chronicled events. He assumed there was this mythic age of Saturn, and then there was thousands of years later, perhaps, the story of the great comet Venus, and then hundreds of years later, the devastating events associated with planet Mars. Now, I mentioned earlier that all of us who have really looked into Velikovsky agree on certain things, and number one is just that he wasn't fully correct in his use of sources. And I was, I think, the first to suggest that something was fundamentally wrong with that chronology spread over thousands of years for this reason. In the earliest texts of ancient Egypt and ancient Mesopotamia, all of the themes, mythically, that Velikovsky was using for the different periods that he was reconstructing, all the way down to the 6th, 7th, 8th, or let's say the 7th and 8th centuries B.C., all those themes are present in the 3rd millennium B.C. Something was just not working there. And Velikovsky didn't give nearly enough attention to the oldest sources. He would have seen that the fiery serpent or dragon, which he was associating with 1500 B.C., was in fact an intimate part of the chronicles of ancient Sumer and ancient Egypt. But the centerpiece in that early phase of human history was a primeval sun god ruling before the present sun. And that doesn't mean that our sun was present or wasn't present. It's just the theater of the gods, this towering configuration of planetary powers in the sky, was centered on an immense form above the ancient sky worshippers. That form was Saturn, and its name was the name that the different cultures gave to Saturn, the planet Saturn. I mean, even the familiar so-called sun gods like Helios and Sol, mm-hmm. and the Mesopotamian Shamash, they're all called sun gods, but they were all identified with the planet Saturn. It is a mystery that will have no answer until you allow for the possibility of something occurring in the sky, spectacular, terrifying, awe-inspiring, but centered on events and centered on planetary forms that unraveled. The whole configuration of the sky unraveled, and every culture on Earth insisted this is the truth. The skies changed completely. The gods once ruled the world. There was an age of gods and wonders. And they give pictures of it. It's nothing like our sky. I mean, what are all these odd symbols of wheels turning in the heavens and this kind of thing? They have no connection to anything we see. But you can actually just give the ancient witnesses the benefit of the doubt and begin reconstructing all of that. And you will see that there is a story of a primeval sun god, the perfect sun, the superior sun, the best sun. Now, even the alchemists, hundreds of years, thousands of years after the origins of these stories, they still remembered Saturn was the best sun.
How did they know all this without telescopes?
Yeah, well, you have to imagine first that the sky was completely different, and Saturn was this spectacular form in the sky. This is what was provoking this outpouring of the myth-making epoch. Human imagination was just going crazy under the effects of this phenomenon in the sky. So that's the origin of the myths around the world. It all grows hopelessly confused over time. But you can extract from that confusing surface layer by working only with the points of agreement. You can extract these underlying story elements. And one was the story of the best sun, the primeval sun. And there is no answer to that mystery unless you allow for the possibility that these points of agreement actually are the residue of an authentic human memory. So it wasn't telescopes, it was remembering this form that eventually disappeared and that the early astronomers remembered. They pointed to and said it's Saturn, this sun god, this primeval sun, this best sun was the planet Saturn.